You seem to have rather a gay time at your concert, Sally.
Not at all. We talked to everyone in the green room, waiting for our turns. I thought he was one of the artists. He looked so splendid, but he was only one of the committee. I happened to tell him that I was copying a picture at the National Gallery. I make a little money that way. I can't paint much. But as it's always the same picture, I can do it pretty quickly and get £2 or £3 for it. It happened that he came to the National Gallery one day.
On Students' Day, he paid 6 pence to stumble about through a crowd of easels when he might have come in next day for nothing and found the floor clear. Quite by accident.
No, on purpose. He liked talking to me. He knows lots of the most splendid people, fashionable women who are all in love with him. But he ran away from them to see me at the National Gallery and persuade me to come with him for a drive round Richmond Park in a taxi.
My Pettikins, you have been going at it. It's wonderful what you good girls can do without anyone saying a word.
I am not in society, Hesione. If I didn't make acquaintances in that way, I shouldn't have any at all.
Well, no harm if you know how to take care of yourself. May I ask his name?
Marcus Darnley.
Marcus Darnley. What a splendid name.
Oh, I'm so glad you think so. I think so too. But I was afraid it was only a silly fancy of my own.
Is he one of the Aberdeen Darnleys?
Nobody knows. Just fancy. He was found in an antique chest.
A what?
An antique chest, one summer morning in a rose garden, after a night of the most terrible thunderstorm.
What on earth was he doing in the chest? Did he get into it because he was afraid of the lightning?
Oh, no, no. He was a baby. The name Marcus Darnley was embroidered on his baby clothes, and £500 in gold.
Ellie?
The garden of the Viscount.
De Rougemont?
No, de la
Roche-Jacquelin.
A French family, a Viscount. His life has been one long romance. A tiger.
Slain by his own hand.
Oh no, nothing vulgar like that. He saved the life of the tiger from a hunting party, one of King Edward's hunting parties in India. The king was furious. That was why he never had his military services properly recognized. But he doesn't care. He is a socialist and despises rank and has been in 3 revolutions fighting on the barricades.
How can you sit there telling me such lies? You, Ellie, of all people, and I thought you were a perfectly simple, straightforward, good girl.
Do you mean you don't believe me?
Of course I don't believe you. You're inventing every word of it. Do you take me for a fool?
Ellie stares at her. Her candor is so obvious that Mrs. Hushabye is puzzled.
Goodbye, Hesione. I'm very sorry. I see now that it sounds very improbable as I tell it. I can't stay if you think that way about me.
You shan't go? I couldn't be so mistaken. I know too well what liars are like. Somebody has really told you all this.
Hesione, don't say that you don't believe him. I couldn't bear it.
Of course I believe him, dearest, but you should have broken it to me by degrees. Now tell me all about him. Are you in love with him?
Oh no, I'm not so foolish. I don't fall in love with people. I'm not so silly as you think.
I see. Only something to think about, to give some interest and pleasure to life.
Just so. That's all, really.
It makes the hours go fast, doesn't it? No tedious waiting to go to sleep at nights and wondering whether you will have a bad night. How delightful it makes waking up in the morning. How much better than the happiest dream. All life transfigured. No more wishing one had an interesting book to read, because life is so much happier than any book. No desire but to be alone, and not to have to talk to anyone, to be alone, and just think about it.
Hesione, you are a witch! How do you know? Oh, you are the most sympathetic woman in the world!
Pettikins, my Pettikins, how I envy you, and how I pity you.
Pity me? Oh, why?